Welcome, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk after the Ravens beat the Tennessee Titans 24-16. This was, this was starting to look like something here that we've blown. But man, glad that the Ravens were able to pull it out after it was starting. It was going just like the script has been in a lot of ways, where it's going like this, and then it starts to go like this. But let me tell you, they swung it around, turned around that fourth quarter and got the W. So much needed win. I mean, look, anytime you're beating an AFC opponent, whether they're in the North or not, it's certainly a big, big win. And also, last time we were in London, it was an absolute disaster. So just to know, that they've obviously, those improvements to the travel schedule, I think, helped. Not getting there very late in the week, getting there early, acclimating to the time. Hopefully, they'll learn from this and continue to do this when they're asked to go across the pond again. But welcoming everybody. What's going on, Luis? What's going on, Brian? DG? Blake, appreciate you guys all joining us. What's up, DK? Appreciate you jumping in the back here. Sean, yeah, it was a good one. Gideon, Brian, appreciate it. Ugly win, Cannabis. Yes, it was. It was an ugly win, but I'd much rather them win ugly than lose ugly like they did last week. So again, 24-16, I'm sorry, the Ravens win the game. I'm going to go start going through some stats here. Jimmy will be joining us in just a couple minutes. He just needed a few to get himself together. And then I'm going to get into some of my thoughts about this game because I have a lot of thoughts about the refs. Holy smokes. Frustrating. But Lamar Jackson goes 21 of 30, 223 yards, touchdown, has the interception, does get sacked once for a two-yard loss. Also had 13 carries, 62 yards on the ground. Gus Edwards chips in 16 carries, just 41 yards, not the efficiency we're used to from Gus Edwards. Mark Andrews is the leading receiver from a yardage standpoint. Gets four catches, 69 on six targets. Slow start, kind of just real quiet. Just two relatively meaningless catches in the first half. Adds two more meaningful catches in the second half. Zay Flowers, shout to Zay, gets his first tutty as a pro. Six catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown on eight targets. Man, Nelson Agholor, two catches, 40 yards, missed an absolute monster touchdown by a shoestring tackle by the defender there. But shout to Nelson Agholor, still showing he's a valuable piece. Odell Beckham Jr. shows he's still healthy, two catches, 34 yards, picks up a penalty. I'm going to get into Jeffrey Simmons' dirty ass, too, in a little bit because I didn't like that play at all, trying to hurt one guy and then you knock over another. Rashad Bateman, two catches, 15 yards, three targets. We're going to get into that one target that ends up being intercepted. Effort level. Not a great throw, effort level. Come on. Gus Edwards, one catch, 12 yards. Big catch, by the way. Chain mover, nice play from Lamar. Pat Ricard gets the one catch for 3 yards. Justice Hill, how about this? Three catches, 0 yards. I mean, that's a bit of a shame. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Pat Queen and Roquan lead the way in tackles and a piece. So they continue to kind of play off each other, feed off of each other, and continue to play well. As far as, I mean, it was a sack machine out there, especially when Tannehill went out. Pat Queen gets a sack. Man, this guy, so physical. I mean, it's just amazing the transformation in his game since Roquan. Justin Madubuike gets two sacks. Holy smokes. Is this guy making himself some money? I mean, four QB hits, two sacks. Monster. Jadeveon, two sacks. He's tired of this whole almost getting there, but not quite getting there. Two sacks today, four QB hits. He was an absolute terror. And also, another newcomer. I mean, Kyle Van Noy has been, I mean, look, he only gets the one sack, and that's really the only thing he records. But this guy was a presence all day, and I think he's only going to continue to get better. Let's see. Shout out to Geno Stone. I mean, every time he's forced into a starter role, and I'll even say after that BS ejection for Kyle Hamilton, I'll say this game, he was forced into a starter role. Didn't start the game, but at that point, he was a starter. especially after Marcus Williams. He just continues to make plays anytime he's asked to be in a starter's role. Three picks now in the season. I mean, the guy has just been absolutely amazing. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot to get into. Let me see here. Okay, we got help me out here, DK. I was looking at the stats, and I admittedly did not see any of these super chats. But if you want to start putting them up there, we can start knocking some of these out as we wait for Jimbo Slimbo to get in here. Let's see here. Do we have any queued up? No? Okay. Well, I guess I'll start by getting into some of these ejections. I don't see one. If you're trying to show me one, I can. Okay, here we go. Sean Pisker. I was convinced Harbaugh was going to go for that fourth down. Yes. Oh my goodness. And they would implode. Credit to the guys for hanging in. Also, that injection on Hamilton was complete BS. I was just trying to make a play. The refs were a disaster today. I mean, absolute disaster. But you're right. And as far as the first part, I was like, holy smokes. If we go for it, when 3 points puts us up by 11 with 4 minutes left, virtually ends the game, which it ended up doing. I mean, I would have been totally blown away. But to credit John Harbaugh, he ran that field goal unit out quickly with no hesitation. So, yeah, credit to the guys for hanging in there. The ejection on Hamilton was absolutely insane. First of all, like, it's such a bang-bang moment. Like, it's so fast. It's like to try and act like this guy. First of all, I didn't know that this had made it to the pros. This was a college rule. Yeah, I didn't know it had made it to the
pros. Since last year, I think.
But to think that guy was aiming and intentionally trying to knock that guy out is absolutely insane. It was, I'm trying to make a play to dislodge the ball. It happens like this. There's no way I'm buying that he should have been ejected.
Did they give a description on the rules of that? Like, just because I was skipping through to try and catch up, so I didn't get a chance to hear them talk. But like,
just because it was helmet to helmet, and they said he launched. So
yeah, because I know in college there's like, yeah, like intentional targeting.
To me, it wasn't targeting. Like,
man, but it was bullseye, even though it wasn't.
It's like unfortunate. Like, it's football, right, to me. Yeah. And then to compound it, you don't eject a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, who I don't know if you guys remember the play, but Zay Flowers is getting tackled and he dives at Zay's ankles.
Yeah.
In a clear attempt, in my opinion, to injure the guy.
Snap and his leg.
And then Odell Beckham comes to his defense like a good teammate should, and he knocks Odell Beckham on his ass.
Yeah.
You know, of course, because he's 150 pounds or more bigger than him.
Yeah.
It's like, so you don't eject the guy who has clear and obvious, I mean, he dives at his ankle and his feet when he's got 150, 200 pounds. I mean, what's the difference between Jeffrey Simmons and Zay Flowers? Zay
Flowers. Yeah, that's,
like,
talking about a Mack truck and a Honda Del Sol.
Guy's a clown, dude. Yeah.
Wait, so really quickly, just so I can catch up, I'm assuming that basically what you've been talking about is all the favors that the refs gave the...
I just got into it. I literally read the stats. That was the first thing I talked about with the refs. Yeah. But the refs were... I did say the refs were absolutely atrocious today.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that there were some calls that were justifiable. But man, I mean, on the topic, I'm sure you already talked about the Marcus Williams play was stupid. What else is the defender supposed to do? So now every opportunity, the wide receiver should just search out the defender and run into him and flop.
Like, dude, he was waiting for the ball. It was a horrible decision.
He was there before the receiver. Like, he
by
had
a long shot. Just,
yeah. So that's how defensive plays are made, if I'm not mistaken. Right. So that was a ridiculous call. I thought the referees did. And then two penalties in the last drive in the red zone.
Dude, the Marlin one was 50-50. I'll give it to you, but even that could have gone both ways. And of course they got that call. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, I mean, I had a note here because it was just, it felt like so many of the 50-50 calls all went their way. And then there was those egregious, like, what the hell? I mean, the only reason they got those 3 points was all penalties. That whole drive was penalties. It was nothing.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. And then it was, what's his name? Kurt Warner was like, they got some momentum. I'm like, no, the refs got some momentum, dude. The refs got some momentum.
Yeah. And Sean's right. I'm convinced. I'm with you, Sean. He's convinced that the refs hate us. And so am I. And even, like you said, Kurt Warner was like, that's a tough call. He said that so many times. Like, that's a, like the, the roughing the passer call on Michael Pierce?
Yeah.
Is this football, Jimbo? Like, yeah. Come on, bruh.
It's just tough when you play it back because anything can look different in slow motion, right? But like you said, bullets are live and guys are moving as fast as they can. It's pretty
even Kurt Warner was like, I couldn't stop my body at my size from doing what his body did. And he's going to stop him?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It was hard for me to be super mad about the Kyle play. Like, it was a bummer. Man, it was such a direct hit to the head, though. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that in the like you said, the other stuff, I was like, holy crap, how can you not call that? Or like, is this really called that? When I saw that, I was at least like, all right, well,
yeah,
I can understand how
he did hit him. He did literally knock him unconscious.
Oh, dude, rocked his own piece. I don't think Chris Moore knew how to spell his last name for like the 5 minutes after that, much less answer any questions. Holy,
I was surprised he cut his hair, by the way. Yeah. I didn't recognize him because of the cut hair.
Over there, man.
Well, he's a hell of a special teamer. And that's why he stuck around. That's why he's going to have like a double-digit year career in the NFL. So shout out to him. But let's see. Isaac says, terrible refs. And I never like to complain about them. Kyle being ejected had me angry anyway. Good to be 4-2. Yeah. Mainly frustrated because you took away one of our very best players. And then Marcus Williams gets hurt very soon after, I believe. Yep. After the Geno return. And so it's like, but hey, by the way, how impressed and surprised were you that Marcus Williams got Derrick Henry on the ground on that long run when he had no left arm? Like, I can see him calculating, like, how the hell am I going to do this? And he somehow got it done.
Yeah. No, definitely that was a big moment for sure. And I'm not sure exactly everything else you got into, but. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about a lot of this stuff. I know we're just kind of following super chats right now. I lost respect for D-Hop. He's such a whiner, man. Yeah, you know, that was a... I don't know. Yeah, I guess
he
I can see
this. He initiates contact and then whines about contact. That's
right.
What this
it's like,
me off.
It's a very James Harden thing to do.
Right.
Like, I get how it's not against the rules. It's just really stupid.
It's,
like,
yeah, it's corny is what it is. It's super corny. Yeah. You initiate contact and then act like... What are you doing, ref? You're not calling the contact. Like, you invited it, you clown.
Yeah, it's like the Chris Paul stop in the middle of the court.
Oh, dude. And I hate that because I have so much respect for his game, except when he does dirty crap like that. And that's just one example of dirty crap Chris Paul does.
Yeah, pretty lousy. Let's see. Manny says, KVN, Metabike, KVN, Calvinoy, Metabike, and Clowny Feast.
Yes.
Yeah, weird red zone woes. Don't understand taking a deep shot 5 yards out of the field goal range on 3rd and 5 with a timeout, but we won, so who cares? Back to the bank. I would agree with a lot of what you're saying, man, except the but we won, who cares part. We've definitely got to learn from it because this was a team that we were supposed to beat. This was a win. Let's just be honest, like, and say what it is. This is a team that we were not supposed to lose to. We came in and did what we were supposed to do. This is just like a fighter coming in and winning a fight he's supposed to win. It's great to get a victory, but this is what you were supposed to do anyway. I'm like, no respect lost for the Titans. They're an NFL football team, but certainly once Tannehill went out, come on.
Game was over.
Yeah, you had to know. And so, yeah, I was super happy for Jadeveon Clowney today to get those 2 sacks. He definitely earned it. I has worked really hard for it. So shout out to him. Go ahead.
I'm going
to
pitch you this question. And oh, by the way, I don't mind the deep shot on the 3rd and 5 because it reminds me of the Pickens touchdown from last week. We were geared on that play to stop them from getting any more yards because of the field goal.
And so they said, let's
throw it right over their head. And I think the Ravens thought that same way. Like, they're going to be geared to stop us from getting any more yards because of the field goal. Let's try and throw it over their head. But let me ask you this. Now with what you've seen, it's getting that question of if you can only sign one to an extension, Metabike or Queen. I don't know how to answer that question because Metabike looked unbelievable today.
Finally, though,
Matt
right?
Queen, well, yeah, I mean, I think all year he's had a pretty good year. And then Pat Queen, I mean, holy smokes, they both were just unreal.
How is
today.
It so crazy that Patrick Queen is all of a sudden so physical? He's so physical, dude. Like, it's just shocking.
Try and block him with a running back, Jimbo. Try and do it.
Yeah, it's just so amazing to me that the impact of, like, this is a life lesson, ladies and gentlemen. Like, surround yourself with people that are going to make you better people, or else just get rid of them. Like, don't waste your time. Because, like, holy crap, whoever Patrick Queen was hanging out before was probably a self-sabotager, probably someone that
man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Always someone that's like, oh, well, I'm not performing because of this, because of that, and the other. And Roquan's like, no. Cut all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is how winning mindset, is done. Dude. Right, it's just incredible.
Yeah, man. So that's that's why I signed Roquan, because Roquan changes the mindset of others and the whole defense.
Yeah.
But shout out to Queen, because he had to do it himself too. And he's been unreal. It's just Quan says, Glenn, don't sugarcoat every time. We go up by 10 and act like we up by 40 and start playing scared like we can't attack. Sad to say, Lamar need an elite wide receiver. Offense will be down for fall, not the defense. Well, you're right in a sense that, like, it was starting to look like we – here's what worries me, Jimbo. When we turn the ball over, which I'm gonna get into what I saw as no effort from Rashad Bateman on that interception. But what bothers me more is that when we turn the ball over, Jimbo, we collapse like a house of cards.
Yeah.
And if we lose any bit of momentum, it seems like it's such an effort to get it back.
It's this crazy thing, Glenn, because you see it happening slow when you're watching the game live. But, like, today I had to catch up. So, like, I'm watching it fast, right? And you can see it in real time, 5 minutes. You just see this change in the team, because I'm watching in 5 minutes, but it's truncated. So it's like, you know, really a quarter or whatever, right? Like, you know, a half a quarter, and you see it. It's just, and it happens. And you're like, oh my gosh, we were driving home today. And I was like, it's happening again. It's happening again. It's happening again. Like,
yeah,
how can I? So you're absolutely right. There's something, and it's offensively and defensively, because was it after the interception? When was it that subsequent to us, I think we punted it. Then they turned on, they had 2 10-yard. It was Henry for 10 or who's the other kid?
Spears
for 10. And then Henry popped one off for 10. And then, you know, whatever ended up being. But I mean, it was like, all right, then offense came out flat, and then turn on the defense came out flat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man, they have this symbiotic relationship where it's like,
yeah, like,
oh, this is a problem.
It worries me.
Yeah. Where's
that
the
they
fortitude?
Don't respond well to adversity, and that you have to, if you're going to win big games at the end of the year, you have to be able to bounce back from adversity, because it's going to happen. Yeah. So that's a little worrisome. Manny says, how about that genius play by Roquan before 2 minutes? Yeah, that was because he's got, like, his arms out, and it's like, he doesn't want to touch the guy. And I'm like, what is he doing? But it's big brain play. It eats up the 2 minute warning. It doesn't allow him to run another play before that stoppage. But at first, I was going, now look, I'm a gamer. So it reminds me of Call of Duty, because in Call of Duty, you can get knocked where you're down and a teammate has to come revive you. Well, if somebody else knocks the guy in front of you, you're not going to get the kill point. So what you'll do sometimes is allow that person to be revived and then kill them as soon as they get revived, so you get the credit. And it kind of looked like that. Like, he wasn't going to get the credit for the tackle. So he said, go ahead and get up. Now I'm going to get the tackle credit. That's what it looked like to me at first. But then I saw the clock and I go, oh, big brain play here. Killed that extra stopping for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, these are the small things that aren't immediately visible to everyone else that are the difference between being the highest paid linebacker in the league and not.
Yep.
It's just that simple. Tommy G says, Glenn James, how many points will our opponents score on drives that are extended by questionable/bad calls? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should start keeping track. Go Ravens. Tommy, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Today was especially egregious, just pretty shocking. And I mean, there's really no way around it. It was just a bummer. There was so much laundry on the field today and unnecessary.
I mean, dude, that Michael Pierce play, dude. Yeah. How many older football fans are just like, what the hell did you see there?
Yeah.
Like, dude.
It's because what's happening is that it's over-policing, right? So now these guys are in their heads. They're going through this criteria list and they're saying, all right, did this happen? Oh, yeah, all of that happened. But they're taking out the moment, the context.
The, like, speed.
Yeah, exactly. What is it live? Right? I think I've said this on the show before. My favorite thing, I grew up playing soccer and lacrosse. My favorite things were, you can play on. Like, you'll hear referees say all the time. Like, you hear a guy complain mid-play, and the ref's like, play on, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, context matters.
Yep.
Right? Because you can deal with those things later, but context matters. And so I think the way you fix it is that you allow context to matter, and then you allow the ability to correct in more moments than we have now. Like, we don't have the ability to correct when guys throw the flag out and, you know, for pass interference. You can't challenge that,
right?
Either for or nor, right? Like, you can't do any of that. So I think there's something that needs to be fixed, because you're right. It's just a checklist now. And these guys are in their heads, right?
Let's see. Cito says, I'm happy with the win, but this offense is making me feel like it's going to get going, but never does. I think that, unfortunately, this will be what we get for the rest of the year, inconsistencies. Well, what you're hoping for is that what you don't want is a team to peak now, right? So at least you hope that they build throughout the year and peak when it matters most.
And look, I know I'm sure a lot of what people are referencing today, and I know we're going to talk about it, is the red zone woes, right? Like, we had a lot of red zone woes, and I'm not giving this team any slack.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I'm not giving this team any slack, but if you remember, part of the reason we're so concerned about the red zone is because of where we were. Remember how the first few weeks were? I think we were first in the league in red zone offense.
80% efficiency. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we knew that was going to scoot down a little bit.
Yeah. Right? It's just the universe correcting itself.
You know what I mean? But I think ultimately, I'm still leaning on this. We're, 4-2 now? This is 6 weeks in? This is still 6 weeks into a Monken offense. How many of you guys are pros at your job in 6 weeks?
Right. That's true.
I know he's been doing it all camp and things like that, but my point is that, like, 6 weeks of live action, I think there's still some things that are going on between the players learning themselves, Monken, you know, learning when to call plays and what to do. I mean, I think that I saw some things that okay, so let me give you an example. I think this is progress, Glenn, even though they ended up in a field goal. I saw that they were slower to outright abandon the run. There was more opportunities for Gus in the red zone this time in comparison to last week. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And that's what we want, right? We were banging on the table saying Gus needs opportunities in the red zone. Well, they didn't get it in they didn't get it in the end zone.
Yeah.
And so I do think there was a little bit of force feeding still. And I'll say the other thing that will correct, I think if we keep it simple between Gus and Lamar, and Mark needs more touches in the red zone.
Yeah.
Did I miss that today? Like, no, I know I was going through,
but he really didn't have any targets in the
right
red zone.
So, like, Zay got his, and then OBJ got his in the red zone. You know, not a touchdown, but he got the opportunity.
Yep.
I mean, and Lamar ran. You know, we had Gus trying to run, but Mark needs the ball in the red zone. It's just that simple. I think that'll correct a lot of issues as well. I don't know what was going on there, but Mark needs the ball.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Let's see here. Manny says, feel bad for Bateman. Guy gets dragged and keeps giving people reasons to drag him. Bad throw by Lamar, but he looked so lost. No clue where the defense was. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great throw.
How can you not know where the defense was, though, when
you're making contact with him?
You just were hand fighting with him.
Yeah. My whole thing is, I thought he could have touched the ball. Like, I don't know. I can't tell from that angle exactly, but to me, the lack of even trying to get to the ball was just, like, baffling. Like, what are you – no effort? Like, it's not like the ball was so far, you know, going into the front row. I mean,
obviously, the guy behind you, who's generally the same size as you, you're probably taller.
You would think, who has the bigger catch radius, Rashad Bateman or that corner?
Rashad Bateman.
They were standing right next to each other.
And it wasn't a moonshot. I mean, it was a straight shot.
Right. Like, I was just – baffled by the lack of effort and the camera. Again, from what I could see, it looked like he could have touched the ball if he tried a little harder. Now, again, it's the camera angle, so I could be wrong about that, but at least from an optics standpoint, it just did not look good when you don't even try.
Yeah, make sure you guys join us on Tuesday, because certainly when Cole comes on, we're going to be talking about this one. I mean,
yeah, we'll have a better look to see if he had a chance or if it was completely uncatchable. Yeah, Cito's done with him. He's calling him Bustman.
Ooh.
Can't be the only one done with Bustman. And the sad thing is he had a nice catch in the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
Then we didn't see him again till the third quarter. And then he has that play. It's just like, man. I want to root for this guy, but that's not easy to root for when the guy's not showing effort.
Yeah, that one in particular was a real bummer. I was just a bit, is that you, DK, saying he got the tackle though? Yeah, he got the tackle because he knew, he's like, well, if I don't get this tackle, I'm out of a job.
Like, you can get run out of Baltimore. Nelly's going to take them snaps.
Oh, man. And look, I saw someone in the chat talking about, and I don't remember who it was, so I apologize, but they don't mind the shot to OBJ in the red zone. I don't either. I think that OBJ should be one of our biggest weapons in the red zone, because I think that's where he's shined throughout his career. His ability in a small space, because of his catch radius, because of his athleticism and things like that, he's very good at that. I think between him, you know, you talked about Nelly, and I just kind of wanted to bring this up because it kind of struck a memory here that I wanted to talk about in the show, is that I think it's still Nelson. I feel like he was like the one where Lamar rolled out to the left in the first half and kind of floated it over to him, and it was just out in front of him.
Yeah.
I believe that those plays will be made week 14, week 15, week 16. Like I'm still, I'm a believer in that. I think some of it, and somebody commented, I think it was Gideon actually who said it. It's just about timing, chemistry, you know, getting it together, right? Like all three of these guys between OBJ and Nelson, and then obviously Lamar, this is our first time playing together. I think it's going to take some more reps. Like, let's get there, you know?
And to Cito's comment, remember y'all, Tucker's washed. This guy comes out, by the way, this is kind of shocking. First time in his career, he had 4 field goals in the first half of a football game. It's hard to believe that Justin Tucker's still doing things that he hadn't done before, but he did that today. Ends up going 6 for 6 overall in the day. Does have his sole extra point attempt blocked after the penalty scoots it back a little bit. And look, that one point, it just shows you how big was that one point. Because
huge.
It was up 9 all this time when we were like, oh, or they would have been up 12, which makes it, you know, not a field goal and a touchdown with a 2-point conversion to tie. It makes it 2 touchdowns. So it just shows that one extra point was a super big play, but that's the only blemish on the day for him today. He had a really nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Sean Piskin says, I love both
Justin
Madubuike and Queen, but if I had to pick, I got to pick Queen.
Ooh, it's a tough one. I mean, I'm not mad at you, but it's tough.
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, whatever it comes down to, it's going to come down to 2 things. One, well, actually 3. What the market bears for both of them.
True.
You know, I think that's going to be a big one. And then also
who do you think's cheaper?
I think Queen's cheaper.
I do too.
Yeah, I do. I think
because of the pass rush we're seeing from Madubuike and how valuable that is at the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And how less value linebacker is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's like right now, I mean, I think it's to have offensively, it's like, are you going to pay a running back or a tight end? 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to pay the tight end. You know what I mean? So, and maybe that's not the best comparison, but you understand my point. It's just a higher value position right now.
Yep. Sean Pisker says he's retracting his Tucker slipping comment, Jimbo. Okay. All right, Sean. Well,
all right. Now, Sean, you only get 1 retraction a year.
Yeah. You can't turn it around. Used it. If you call somebody else out, you're done. Now, quick question, because somebody mentioned it in the, I'm going to give him credit here. DG says, where's Keaton Mitchell today? Any surprise? I didn't see him at all offensively. No. If you guys saw him in special teams, let me know. But to me, I didn't see him at all.
No, I didn't either. And I feel like, Justice Hill, I'm happy with the production we're going to have Justice Hill. I'm not saying he's like jumping off the screen, but he's a productive back within the system.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And so why take him off the field is my opinion. You know, I think he's doing.
But why even make him active today? Then, I mean, unless he was a heavy participant in special teams, which is right. possible, and maybe speaking he took over. Teams, what? Oh,
how do you get caught, dude? Dev,
dude, how do you get caught, dude? When that punter turned and ran, I was like, this punter's got wheels, bro.
Wheels.
I couldn't believe it. Dude. He turned and ran, dude. Yeah.
How do you get caught?
Hey, man, that punter is not a normal punter.
No, I would make fun of him so hard.
Dude, he was out of there. That punter turned and he put on the burners. Shout out to Asmodeus for the McChicken money.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the lunch. Annie further on says, I was thinking of who EDC trades for on offense. Problem isn't talent. It's heart. We need someone on offense with a spine. Well, you know what? I'll say this. I don't think Asmodeus is off here. I do think we could use some leadership when it comes to bouncing back from adversity, because we said it earlier, they just tend to collapse when things don't go well. And it takes is a fumble, an interception for this team on offense offensively to get their head down. And it just drives me crazy. And it doesn't have to be even necessarily like a trade for a big time talent. Like Asmodeus is saying, a leader, Like I think we need some help from a leadership standpoint, and maybe we can find that in a guy who's already there, who just kind of steps into that role. But somebody has to pick this offense up, and you'd hope it would be your franchise quarterback, who you paid a lot of money to say, look, guys, we're still in this. Yeah, forget about that play. That was last drive. Let's go out there and get this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that the way that this is going to happen is it's got, like you said, so both good and bad, both scenarios where it does happen from the quarterback for in a good way, it's also happening and it disseminates down to the other guys in a bad way. One of the things that I've always struggled with Lamar, and I love Lamar, I love everything about his game, and I like that he has very high expectations on himself. I think a lot of athletes, I know I do this myself as well, but the ability to just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go, because you're not doing anything for yourself or your teammates by holding on to this. Because what happens is you go out to the next drive and it's more pressurized. You're putting more pressure on yourself. On yourself. It's artificial. It's not even real.
Yep.
Right? To then say, I have to hit a home run. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, let's just...
Because then when you don't...
Then it gets worse. It compounds over and over and over again, right? So how do you get out of that cycle? I think the only way that this happens is that John has to get in his ear. But do your best coaching. But
the best leadership is always... The best teams... Their leaders run the like,
yeah, yeah.
It's itself that typically.
I guess what I mean though is that like in the career arc of Lamar Jackson, this has got to be where John steps in and is like, hey, let me teach you how this go. Like not literally, but he's to help.
And maybe a veteran quarterback as a backup may have been valuable in that regard, and we don't have that on the team. You know, we got a bunch of young cats. I mean, Johnson, but I mean he was never a guy. But yeah, I think you make a good point, Asmodeus. They could use like the Roquan mentality on defense, on offense. Like, who cares about that? Let's go get this one.
Marcus Orr says the Hamilton ejection was an absolute crock. Yeah, I mean, I think that he just rocked his dome piece so hard. Not that I don't think it was unwarranted, like. But man, he knocked him into a different dude.
It was intentional at all. I think
I don't think it was intentionally. So that's what I don't know. If the line, DK, if you can look this up, if the line is intentionality for the reason of someone getting, like, if that's the line, if this was intentional, I just don't know if that's.
But
part
it's so
of the
hard
definition.
To gauge intent. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, what do you do? Go up to him and you go, all right, pinky promise. Did you mean to do it?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Right.
Like, what do you?
I think in other situations that. Yeah, that one in particular. I mean, it's.
But
difficult.
I just because we know Kyle, like it just doesn't. It's not a Kyle Hamilton. Like if it was Vontaze Burfict, you'd go, okay, he meant to. He tried to kill the guy, but it's not in the character, and so I don't know. Maybe you can't take that into account. Manny says, I couldn't believe how many times the announcers would say, the last thing Malik can do here is take a sack immediately followed by a sack. Yeah, you're so right. Like, and then they even got bailed out by a couple penalties that stopped the clock. That's why they would say that is you can't take a sack because they had no way of stopping the clock. They take the sack and then the penalty stops the clock. So, Malik, you can see why they're choosing to move on from him and tried to trade him when they drafted. What's his name? Who they draft this year? The mayonnaise in the coffee guy.
Oh, I don't even know the kid's name out of Kentucky.
Yeah, Levis.
Will Levis.
Levis. To me, Malik, I don't see it.
That's crazy. I think it's not crazy you don't see it. It's just I think the kid's got all the talent in the world. I just think he needs some better coaching. But either way, this game should have been over.
It's a Belichick tree, dude. What do you expect? It's offensively, they're going to be a disaster.
Right. You know? No, you're right. Marcus Orr says, Cito, you aren't alone, bro. No clear example of first-round bust in the league right now than Bateman. The man is a mop. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. I'm not ready to give up on Rashad Bateman yet. I'm just not ready to. I think this offense in general is an offense in which Lamar started 4-for-4 to four different receivers or whatever. So to just simply to say, like, we spread the ball around. I think I don't know how many teams do it like we do it, is what I'm saying. And so if he was in an offense where he was highly depended on and he was going to get 8 to 12 targets a game, who knows what that might look like? I don't know, but it's not like we are simply looking for Rashad Bateman 15 times a game.
Yeah.
So it's also just hard to gauge him on a bad throw and two receptions for 7 yards or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just hard to do. So I'm not ready to give up on him yet.
Yeah, that's true. I like it. And you know what? It was good to see. It was good to see OBJ take that short slant and show that he still has the burst.
Uh-huh. Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up, Glenn, because that is the beat. That's what we've been talking about to beat the blitz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And if he's got to be the guy that's got to do it or show the other young boys how to do it, like, this is how you get it done. Lamar just whoop. And what was that? Like a 60 yard play?
It was quick. Yeah. Quick. Little 6 yard slant turned into a lot more. Yep.
Dude, man, that was fun to watch. That was one of my most favorite plays of the game.
Oh, for sure.
Because it showed how they can solve a problem.
Exactly. Sean Pisker says Bateman, OBJ, and a draft pick for, I guess, Davante Adams. Man, you know what? Seems like a lot to give up for Davante Adams, but.
Yeah, but then what's going to happen is he's going to get
really good.
He's incredible, but you think Monkey is going to stop sharing the ball?
You've taken two and you'd be getting rid of two for one.
For one, right.
You'd eliminate
one
whole mouth to feed, as they say.
Okay, you know, so this take is away.
Completely unrealistic, by the way. Like, could this trade ever happen? 0%.
Yeah.
But
only Madden, Sean.
To Sean's point, though, I mean, Adams is really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really good.
But let's also count in the fact that the Raiders are too dumb to, like, do anything that's going to make them better, right? Like, if it was an opportunity to make them
too
better,
dumb to get better.
You know, what's the owner's name again? I always forget his name.
Mark Davis.
He's going to come in there with the denied stamp and just denied. This is going to make us a better football team. No way.
No way. You know? Can't do it. Big red stamp. Uh-oh. Oh, dang. And Njoku just broke a tutty. Oh, there's a flag on the field. So this could be coming back, ladies and gentlemen.
Who is this?
David Njoku, by the way. Did you see the pictures of his face?
Absolute warrior, dude.
Dude, he played the next day.
I know. It's incredible.
Skin was peeled off his face. Like,
yeah.
Amazing.
Cito says, our O-line looked a lot better this game. I know they didn't have a J.J. Watt, but solid protection against a solid D-line. Yeah, I thought that the O-line looked better.
They had moments where they let them down. But
had some rough ones.
Of course, they look better. Morgan Moses back, too, right? And no J.J. Watt. So they look better, but Stanley, to me, still is getting pushed back too much. Like, that's the part that worries me. It's like the guys you... Like, it's like Ronnie Stanley, you're supposed to be able to count on that guy. And he continues to kind of get bull rushed. It's got me a little worried. But overall, a lot better than they did last game. No doubt about it. They looked completely inept in the second half of last game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, big, big steps in the right direction. Kenny says, Titans 0 points scored without referee assistance. Yeah, I mean, look, if you the one drive where Derrick Henry breaks the 65-yarder, you know, I'll give them that drive. Outside of that drive, they did nothing. Absolutely nothing that was not assisted by the refs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to talk about this real quick, though. How is it really discouraging to you let me know if you disagree or agree with this statement. Kyle Van Noy and Clowney are more productive than Adafe Owe and David Ojabo.
Not even close.
Is how discouraging is that for you?
Well, the reason it's not that discouraging is that both those guys are projected to still be coming back. So once they get back, now it's disappointing in the fact that those are two pretty high draft picks and you picked up two street free agents who performed better.
Walked on, you know, just on the street.
So I guess from that standpoint, yeah, it is disappointing.
That's a bummer.
But those guys are going to come back. And I think Owe was showing us something before he went out.
Yeah.
I can't really say the same for Ojabo, but
and we don't know if Ojabo's coming back this year.
Yeah, I guess so. But the way he talked in that press conference in London made me feel like he probably is.
Yeah, we'll see.
But man, Clowney has been
awesome, a revelation.
Like, yeah, like way better than anyone could have imagined, dude.
Yeah, no kidding. So Marcus Orr says my thing about the Hamilton thing is that ejections like that discourage defense from being played. Hamilton was mid motion. He can't stop when he's already engaged. It's running through. It's running defense. Ruining defense, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, defense has been ruined. Let's be honest. Like, it's past tense at this point. Like, defense is not what it used to be, and it's a bummer.
Dude, the quarterback rules are so insane. You can't hit them high, can't hit them low, can't land on them. It's just like, dude, there's so many freaking rules on one guy. It's just like,
you can't even hit him in the helmet with your hand.
Not even, and not even, you can't hit him hard. You can't brush by it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything. Can't hit him below the knee at all. Even if you're shoved into that knee by his own offensive lineman.
Crazy.
And you can't land on him when you tackle him. Even if you do everything else right, if you land on him, then you get a penalty.
Do you ever think, is there someone, there anyone that, like, why can't you have the execs from the NFL line up, like, sit them down, just sit down and let's review the, like, put the checklist in your hand, right? Here, take the checklist. Can't do this. And let's walk through a scenario. We're going to do this in slow motion. There's a quarterback and here's Michael Pierce. Okay. I'm going to tackle him. Go tackle him. Okay. Tell me how that was illegal. Go, and they're going to do it 100 times. Tell me which of these 100, according to the definitions of your hand, was legal.
That's what, because, the competition committee's for, right?
Like, how?
Guys like Ozzie Newsome are on that committee. I mean,
I don't get it.
It's crazy. And then, yeah, poor Kyle Hamilton. There's no way he was intentionally trying to helmet and knock that guy out. He was trying to disrupt the ball, and it happened because it's football, and these guys are going a million miles an hour.
And then what's going to happen is in 2 weeks, just
he's
like
gonna try and dislodge it like this, and he's not going to make any impact and probably hurt himself.
Yeah. Or, just like you said, no impact or no contact, no nothing. Some guy catches in for the end zone.
Yeah.
And then we're like, what happened?
And then he breaks his finger because he's trying to push it out, and he does. It's a whole, you're right. It changes how guys play.
Yeah. Garrett says the Pierce roughing the passer was the worst
roughing the passer
call I've ever seen. He hit the quarterback and rolled off his before hitting the ground. Exactly how the NFL is coaching to do. Absolute BS. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he hit the ground, and they met at the ground, and he did roll.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think because he's so striking in his size in comparison to the guy he's tackling, that it's like they just throw it. Like, mercy me.
It's like, that's crazy to me. It's just like when they picked up the flag in the Cincinnati game. It's like, because the scenario would have been really devastating for them to take the touchdown, they just pick it up.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, when defense was dead, do you remember Drew Brees and the Niners game? The sack late in the game that
he got crunched?
Yeah, and he said, and the presser at the end of the game, post-game, he said, well, I knew it was going to be a penalty when I got hit that hard. What?
That's nice to hear.
What? Yeah, like...
That's not how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, ask Johnny U about that.
Yeah. He's got his head taken off.
Yeah, I mean, goodness. Are you kidding me? I was like, yep, defense is dead. RIP to NFL defense when the quarterback literally is like, I know it's a penalty because I got hit so hard. Okay, you're not even playing football anymore at this point.
It's crazy. It's like, it's supposed to look bad when a guy that size hits a guy that's that much
smaller.
Kind of
the point, right? Like,
yeah, like,
let's be honest, it's the most popular game in the country.
Look when Zay Flowers tried to run by that D end, or I think it was D end.
Oh,
and he just reached his arm out and just slung him down. Yeah, because he's 180 pounds heavier than him.
Right.
So that's just what it looks like when a much bigger guy tackles a much smaller guy. It's absolutely insane. Marcus Orr says Kenny Ash is 100% right. Refs kept this one close for the Brits. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't like to buy into the script stuff, but and I don't think that's what's happening. I just think because I can't let that be what's happening because that would ruin everything. So I'm not going to think that that's happening. I'm just going to think that they had another shitty game out there.
Yeah.
Also, can we put age limit on these refs? Do you see the ref who got taken out on the sideline? He's 80 years old.
Right. No. I don't think we can discriminate based on age. But
fitness,
eyesight.
If you can't move, exactly.
Just
like, I'm not discriminating just because if he was a 60, if he looked like Hockley, that's a different,
Right, right. You should have it's the same, dude, trust me, it's the same thing. I'm watching the Baltimore Marathon yesterday, right? And there's cops that are, because it's a Boston qualifier, so you cannot have interference, you can't have help, it's a very official. So there's cops at every intersection right here in my street. There's a cop smoking a big old cigar, guarding people that, and he's got a belly, right?
Yep.
Guarding people that are running a marathon. I'm like, dude, if I committed a crime, if I punched this guy in the face, there's no way in H double hockey six that you are catching me, bro. You ain't catching me. Like,
yeah.
Fitness. Yeah. So you're right. To fitness your point, test. Yeah. Put in a fitness test, put in an eyesight, put in a hearing test. Because
all, I've been saying this for years, Jimbo, all the good, you know, how, like there's always guys at the end of the bench in basketball. Yeah. Take all the guys at the end of the bench in all these Power Five college teams that aren't good enough to make it to the pros and train them to be refs as soon as their college career is over. You should have 25-year-olds out there sprinting down the field with these guys who have played the game, who can understand like the nuances and the moments, and like get former players who just weren't good enough.
Yeah, and you work half the year, make $250,000. No big deal.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a great career. Yeah. It's crazy to me how this is like, it's.
Don't you think he'd rather be that than be a gym coach? It's either that or a gym teacher. No offense to gym teachers, but I'll take the $250,000 a year.
You know, or a car salesman.
Yeah,
come out to something, something Chevrolet and get former Oklahoma State cornerback to sell you a car. No, let him be a ref. And look, he'll still be on TV. He'll still be running on the field.
Yeah, because asking folks at that point in their physical life that, Jimmy, you can't outrun a radio. All right, sure. You're not wrong, Sean. Chat. Therefore, I don't commit crimes.
Shout out to a police officer in the chat.
Is Sean a police officer? Sean, sure.
He's like, hey, you ain't going anywhere.
That's fine. Sean, look, that's why I don't commit crimes. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to try and outrun the whole police force. But you line me up against every single police officer in Baltimore City, I'm not losing to a single one. I ain't losing to one, Sean. All I'm saying is that Billy Gardell should not be able to act as a Chicago police officer, and it should not be believable. He was 400 pounds when he was playing as a cop, and it's believable. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, Sean. But you're right. I don't commit crimes because technology, well, more than just that. Technology exists. You can't outrun a radio. You're not wrong, Sean. Anyway. I could have gotten away with anything on that guy.
Marcus Orr says, you guys make great points. Defense has been dead. Touche. Yeah, it's it is frustrating, especially for the older fans. Like guys like my dad who've been watching this sport since before there was any illegal contact, since before there was any, you know, rules to protect the quarterback. Now, some rules put in place, I think, have been for the betterment of the game. But at some point, they've certainly hamstrung the defense and made it an offensive league. No doubt about it. But look, even with the refs stepping in and all that went into it, the bottom line is the Ravens are 4-2. They win the game.
Yep.
They move into a position where they could take over first place, depending on actually, they will be in first place because the Steelers have a bye week, so they can't win this week, which means we should move to a half a game lead over the Steelers. And I think Seattle has given let me see what the Kitty Cats are up to. Yeah, last I looked, they were up 7-0. Let me see if that's still the case here. Refreshing the screen. Drum roll. It's tied. Son of a gun. All right. So the Bengals tied it up. I don't know exactly. Here we go. Touchdown from Tyler Boyd. 8 yards. Okay. All right. Well, look, we got a ball game here, and the Niners are up on the Browns. So, look, let's keep this trend going. It seems like each week one team wins in the – or when the Ravens win, every other team loses. And when the Ravens lose, every other team wins. So in theory, since we won, the Browns and the Kitty Cats should both lose this week.
That's right. That's right. Sean, I'm a Maryland State Trooper, but I'm just teasing. Well, look, Sean, if you pulled me over, I would be a
dude, you better not give me a ticket, Sean.
I would crumble, dude. I'm so nervous of cops. Yeah, you know what, Sean?
You better not give me a ticket. I better get a warning, Sean.
I'll tell you what, though, Sean, we do need to hang out. I'll tell you my first experience with cops, but it was scary. It was really bad. So I've been traumatized since then. If anybody's seen Parks and Rec, I'm like Ben Wyatt with the cops. You guys will know what I'm talking about. You know, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. So that's me with police officers. I guess to summarize, great team win. Still got a lot of work to do, but I always take a win over Tennessee. I've never gotten over the 2019 game. Yeah. I'm so happy to watch Vrabel lose. I never liked him as a player. Don't like him as a coach. I think he's a tool. And I'm happy when he loses.
And you know what's crazy, Jimbo? I just don't mind even as much bashing as we've done to the rest. We never even talked about that Morgan Moses holding penalty in the beginning of the game. That was also horrible. It looked bad on camera, but once you saw the other angle, which the refs would have had that other I mean, it just to me looked like the cornerback made a poor play and got kind of tangled up with him. But
right.
Sorry, I just had to mention that because it was in my notes, and I had to. Sean says, don't worry, I'm a tenured trooper. Citations are rare these days. Nice, good. It sounds safer that way anyway. Never know who you're walking up to when you make a traffic stop and what they could be capable of. So
you want to know something funny? So this morning we walked out to the car, we're heading to church, and I look, my wife's like, hey, our stuff's in the middle of the road. I'm like, what are you talking about? And my son's been messing with the keys lately. I think he accidentally unlocked the element, and people got in the element. There's nothing but baby toys. And like, we have stuff from our road trip still in there. Like when we drove across the country, so we went to like the slime factory and like, you know, all this stuff. Like my wife's got her baby Bjorn in there and just like nothing. Right.
Yeah.
So we got like toys and we got a big basket full of stuff to just distract Henry. So this dude goes through, I'm assuming it's a dude. That's maybe a bad assumption, but he goes through everything, right? Finds nothing. He grabs this one bag. They hop out of the car and he realizes nothing but slime that we got to make at the slime museum. And he leaves it in the middle of the road. I'm like, dude, so all you got to did was you for 45 minutes,
made a mess.
Joe, I got to clean up the car.
Yep. Made a mess.
You know,
idiots.
Yeah. Anyway. Ridiculous. But yeah,
Look, this was a good win, Jimbo, but we still have a lot to improve on. I think both execution wise, but also, and we talked about their mental struggles when you got to find a way to better handle when there's adverse situations. And I think that's going to be, you know, something that we probably talk about a lot when we talk to Cole on Tuesday, because I want to ask Cole what the difference of execution looks like before an adverse situation and what it looks like in the moments after, and like try and figure out why there's such a steep drop off in play. It seems like a conservative turn in the play calling. So it's not like it's just the players. It seems like it affects the coaches too. And it's like, it's a disturbing trend that they have to stop, because there's going to be situations in the playoffs you're going to have to overcome, whether it's refs, bad calls, whether it's drops, whether it's a poor execution from the offensive line, Lamar Jackson fumbles the ball. There could be any number of things that are going to happen, and you got to be able to bounce back. And to this point, they haven't shown that they can.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The other thing I want to bring up to Cole as well is you talked about this earlier in the season where 21% of our touches were going for no gain or loss of yards.
Yeah.
So ever since you brought that up, is it just me or formation wise? Like, are we getting the ball to these guys deeper in the backfield? Doesn't it look like they're, like, there's moments where I want to say Forsett. Oh my gosh. Justice Hill gets the ball. I swear he's like 8 yards deep. I'm exaggerating a bit, but like, I don't know what's, I feel like that's at least something to talk about. I don't really know.
And we're not knocking guys off the ball like we used to.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge problem. Like our offensive line isn't winning and moving that line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that's not doing us any favors either.
No. But I'm excited to talk about it. Tom Votto says, still don't like the conservative play calling. Minute 40 in the second, 3 timeouts, and we ran 3 times in a row. I'm with you, Sean. I'm with you, Tom. Play calling has to be better, boys, especially in the red zone. Yeah, I think that just getting the ball to 89 would make a huge difference in the red zone. Like, let's not exclude our biggest target. You know, I think that's a big deal. So, and I don't know if, you know, they were trying to counteract to something that the Titans were showing defensively, and we'll ask Cole about that
as well. Kevin Byard. Look, they got a pretty good safety. Kevin Byard's been around the league for a while. I got to imagine if he's not number one in interceptions since he's been in the league, he's up there.
Yeah.
Because he was just a ball hawk. So
let's
give them a little credit. They got a pretty good guy. And that guy took the challenge on. He talked about the challenge before the game. He says, I'm going to mark Andrews. So, you know, that guy, he gets paid too. But yeah, I agree. You got to make him a bigger part of the offense, especially in the red zone going forward.
Yeah. And one more side note, I don't know if you saw this, Glenn, but Jonas Schaefer tweeted, Devin Duvernay's top speed on the breakaway punt was 19.82 miles per hour. Ryan Stonehouse's top speed, 19.76. So, boo on Duvernay, who hit 22 miles an hour last year.
So you think he's too slow now? And 19's not fast enough.
I hit 19 on vacation, Glenn.
You did. That's true.
Like, come on, dude. You're a professional.
But man, when 19 point something miles an hour is not fast.
Look, it's all about relative to your peers. He's a dang punter.
Yeah, that punter can boogie.
Dude, he was.
You know what I'm saying? That punter can boogie.
Yes. Shout out to him. Maybe that's more credit.
Credit
to him than discredit to Duvernay. And Duvernay wasn't running straight. In all fairness, like,
but
he was.
I'm sure they calculated that in the miles per hour. Like, that doesn't matter which.
But
direction.
I mean, that would slow you down, right? Like, in like if you're veering slightly instead of just being in a. If I got 20 steps straight, and then you're going to measure my miles per hour in comparison to like doing one of these, you know, breaking out to the outside a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. But good. But, I don't even know what your name is, but as the last commenter says, great bounce back from those receivers, right? Like they had a terrible game. They had a much, much better game. You got to give them credit. Wanted to shout them out real quick.
100%, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Let's finish out the show just by getting to our internal competition, and we will get to our competition winner. Of course, as always, we do a viewer competition open to all you guys. We do over-under competition. It's sponsored by BetUS and is available to join for each one of you simply by submitting your answers to any of the social media handles above Glenn's head or on our live preview show comments, not chat, comments section if you submit your answers there. DK has tallied them up for us internally, and every Tuesday we reveal our viewer competition winners, but our internal competition winners have been revealed, and this will be the fastest reveal ever because nor Glenn do I care who the winner was. No,
Lewis is right, man.
What's that?
The Ravens won, so
that's all that matters.
I lost.
All right, I'm gonna hit end. You ready, DK, for me to hit?
every time the Ravens win, I lose. That's true. And when the Ravens lose, I win. It's
so
the trend.
Just sacrifice yourself, Glenn.
That's what I did. That's what I've been doing. I should be such a. You're talking about the Ravens should be 6-0. I should be 6-0. And you're welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for not jinxing the Ravens. All right.
Oh,
I'm gonna lose from here on out.
What a martyr.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You're welcome. All right. Let's have the results. Let's see them. Look, say even DK doesn't want to do it because you know what? And by the way, Jimby, should we go back to verify these results? Because there's been discrepancies.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm going to look back on it because I need to know if there's discrepancies when it comes to DK's scoring. You know,
Glenn's
what I mean?
Asking for a recount, DK.
Dude, I'm checking them right now, bro. I'm pulling it up right now.
Let's see. Ravens. So the first one was Ravens yards per rush. 5 yards was the line on the over under. And the Ravens rushed for 3.6 yards. Not acceptable.
It's Gus's fault.
Sure. Blame it on Gus.
I am. I'm going to blame it on Gus. Dude, Gus had 2.6 yards per carry on 16 carries.
And how many inches? How many inches did he go without getting contact? 0.2 inches without getting contacted by the opposing player.
You know what's funny, though? Nobody on our team had 5 yards of carry. Lamar Jackson was 4.8, and Justice Hill was 4.4. But Gus Edwards was still a whopping 2.6. So that definitely drug down the average. But no way were they going to go above 5. Yeah. I was banking on Lamar, like,
me
cracking
too.
One, you know?
Yeah.
To bring the average up. Didn't happen.
Because you think if Gus stays somewhere between 4 and 5, and then Lamar is up 6 to 8, right?
Yep.
Then you're doing all right, but yeah, didn't end up being the case. So let's see.
So me and Jimmy were wrong.
Oh, okay, right.
And DK was correct.
DK was right because he's the least faithful Ravens fan here. All right, let's go to the next one. Second over under Ravens third down efficiency was set at 50.1. Holy crap! It came in at 50%.
Isn't that crazy, bro? Like
insane. I'm the only one that took the under, so. Wait, does that means you and DK were both correct here?
DK has no faith in our team. By the way, the Titans went 1 of 9 on third down.
Yeah, terrible.
Ouch.
Oh, I'm the right one.
Yeah, you're the right one because you have no faith in our team, dude.
Oh, right. I picked the under. Yeah.
By point one.
Remember what I said.
Yeah, remember. You said the Ravens are trash and they can't convert.
Gaslighter over here. No.
I remember it clearly.
No, I said that we wouldn't be a lot of third downs. So one or
we
two
had 18.
Plays. Right, I know, which was not what
we
I was expecting.
We had twice
I
as was... many third down opportunities as they did.
Right, which because I was expecting us to just score at will. And not be in third down situations, which didn't end up being
like
the case.
That. I like that twist you put on it.
That's literally what my thought was. It's like, we're not going to be a lot of third downs, but moving the ball so easily.
Sure it was.
Let's go to the next one.
The worst wick ever. Number three, Titans first downs over under 16.5. Another. I mean, did DK nail the over unders on this week, by the way? They get 17, Jimbo. Mm. Damn it.
I know.
I'm just wrong all the time. Like, you know, it really pees me
And yet
me
you
off.
Guys continue to tune in. Thank you so much.
I should have gotten this one. Of course, we were all wrong on this one, so I can't feel too bad. We all incorrectly predicted the under. All right, last one. Titans rushing yards, 99.5. I mean, look, they get to 129. It was pretty clear that, I mean, look, they got 65 on one play. So the Ravens did a good job of bottling them up, but they gave up one big play. And so for that reason, they were over. And for that
and
reason,
Malik
we were
came
wrong.
In at the end, too, which also, I'm just saying they were junk yards, but it added more than what Tannehill would have done.
That's true. But DK, and this was the separator because DK was the only one to predict this correctly. He said they'd go over while we said under, but we will go over the tiebreakers for the fan vote. Tiebreaker number one, total score over under 42. I was correct. So boy, are you guys lucky, Jimbo, because I was the only one to correctly predict they'd go under the total. They got to 40 points. And then closest to the pin when it comes to yardage, exactly 15 away for both of you. Mm-hmm. So interestingly enough,
DK is saying 25. Hold on.
Oh,
is the 15? Math wrong here, DK?
No, 25. Yeah. I'm incorrect, but both of them were highlighted. So I was kind of tricked by DK. I got to kind of blame him a little bit because he made me wrong. So I got to say he was taking some of the blame on this one, but, so DK
He's
was
like
correct.
Correcting it live.
Cause he, oh no.
25 both ways.
Oh, so I'm an idiot. Okay.
Well, so that means that you were right and that they were
the
equally
first
apart,
time,
but the
math
was
wrong for to my whole rant about how DK got me. That was all wrong. It was all me. Cause I'm an idiot. So sorry, DK. But that's crazy. We've never had two people tie on the.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure something out. What if it comes down to that?
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy, bruh. You know what you got to do? You got to put 0.5s on yours or something. Or actually, I don't even know if that would help.
Yeah, we'll have to think of something.
Yeah.
You know. But with that being said, DK is the winner. So shout out to DK. He got 50. Hey, this is like getting graded on a curve, right, DK? You have 50% of it right.
I think Lewis is right. If it happens, you guys have to duel it out.
I love it.
You guys have to duel it out for the win. We'll get foam swords. You guys got to fight. Now, it'll be like you have to stay on that platform with those gladiator things, and whoever knocks the other off the platform.
I thought you were talking about straight up like Hulk hand boxing.
Oh, you're ready to go at DK, dude. Don't be so excited, dude. DK, I got your back. If he swings on you, I got you, bruh.
DK, don't defend on that. Put no stock in that.
No, none. Absolutely not.
Oh, by the way, the beard's gone.
Oh, I see. You remembered the razor. Finally. Congratulations. But look, guys, we will be back Tuesday. Make sure you're here with us. We'll have Cole on again, as always, to give us some more insight with that coach's film. But at the end of the day, good win for the Ravens. Shout out to our boys. Hopefully, safe travels home. We'll welcome them back home after 3 games outside the bank. I mean, you go on the road to the Browns. You go on the road to Pittsburgh. And then you fly over to London ultimately, after the three-game road trip, Jimbo, they come back 2-1. I'm not mad about that, to come back 2-1 off a three-game road trip. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the Ravens. We'll be back Tuesday, and we'll see you then.